Good morning. You prefer this gray or 4 inches of snow? Gray, really? Okay, hey, you know. I guess if you put on your imagination, you could look out and say, hey, it's snowing. But it's not. Hey, small favors, right? You know, I was looking at the readings here and just paused just for that brief moment. You know, there's four options. There's four different masses. The afternoon mass, the midnight, the vigil mass, the midnight mass, the mass at dawn. Nobody was here. And then the mass of the day. So we're doing mass of the day now. And each of those masses have different sets of prayers and four different readings. First, several verses of the Gospel of John. We hardly remember that because only every two or three or four, maybe even 5 years do I read that. We tend to like the story. We like to have the visuals, right? But let's just engage ourselves and consider. My ultimate theme today is going to be seeking and savoring. We seek all kinds of things in this world, and if we're wise, we savor. We taste deeply those things that we value, things of love. We gather today, and although we can never fully understand what it is we celebrate, we have a pretty clear idea. God is a mystery, but God's not trying to cause or be or have that mystery be hidden. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made his place among us. I think that's pretty clear. It's rich, deep, contemplative reflection of the mystery of the divine. And for ourselves as Christians, we're saying, I believe that. I believe in a God of love. I believe in a God who came to us in the person, the human man, Jesus Christ, in his divinity and his humanity, died on the cross, a cross, without resentment or bitterness, embracing, not simply enduring, but embracing that cross, so that we could celebrate our redemption, our liberation from evil, sin, and death. I just want to make sure you knew why we gathered today. Do you get it? Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Good. Ponder that. Savor it, please. I wrote this article, honestly, 3 weeks ago, I think. I was still getting over pneumonia at the time. I'm like, well, I got nothing else to do. Let me write an article, you know? And then you read it 3 weeks later. It's like, well, what did I write this for? I hope you get the point. We seek a lot of things in this world, and seeking is a good thing. It tells us we're alive, we're conscious, we're sentient beings. We need and we desire things. We long for things that we feel we need and want, perceiving we don't have them. Sometimes we buy what we want, and, oh, wait a second, I got three of those already. I used the example at the early mass, 4 o'clock, because there was the greatest number of kids. Parents and grandparents are seeking to find, or any of us, really, kids at 60 or 80 or 85. You're seeking to find just that right gift for just that right person, seeking so that you can please them, so that they know that you put some thought, you put some love into the gift. Savoring is a little different. Savoring is realizing and treasuring with deep gratitude and love things that we highly value. Now, that has different expressions in different faces, doesn't it? Sometimes we can think of things like love and faith. Sometimes food and friendship. I don't know why I even bother to use the example, but it comes to mind. I was in Pittsburgh. I think Jim is from there. Spent a week there one night. Franco's was the name of the restaurant. I had the nicest, what do you call that? I had a steak. Filet, thank you. I don't eat those very often. Man, that was the best steak I ever ate. And I savored it. And you know, that was probably 10 years ago. I probably ought to get over that, you know? Because other things are more worthy of our savoring. Spiritual seeking and savoring are different. We seek spiritually. Why did you come today? I'm glad you're here. And a warm welcome to all. You're always welcome. Please come regularly. But why? Just because it's Christmas? Just a touch base? Or is there something in you that's seeking, that needs to touch or be touched by God? We all believe in God. Some are blessed to believe in God very heartfully and very immediately. No offense to anybody, but it's common enough that we believe in God, but often enough just at arm's length. Oh, I know God's there and I believe. It is what it is. God is unchanging love. But we still seek God, do we not? We seek God's blessing, God's favor, God's protection, God's safety. Is there anyone here that does not seek God's acceptance, God's forgiveness, God's mercy? Again, we savor and ponder those things. But we can only savor things that we've already experienced, right? How can I savor something of that which I do not know? I can long for that thing, that person, that reality. I can seek it, I can long for it, but I can't savor it because I don't know it yet. I think Mary, the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, mother of the church, your mother and mine, is a beautiful example of both seeking and savoring. Remember how young Mary was. I wonder if teenagers at the time of Mary were just like teenagers today. Probably not. She was betrothed to marriage at 13 or 14 or 15, whatever she was. She loved God. She desired God. Her life was deeply identified with God. She wanted to know and she wanted to do God's will. Now, that's all by grace. But we have the same grace, do we not? Do we know who we are in God? Because God knows himself in us. Another expression of why savoring is important. Mary, on the one hand, is perplexed and pondering, what does this mean? She's seeking understanding and some kind of realization of what this mystery is about an angel and conceiving by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in her desire to know and to do God's will, even in her perplexion and troubled nature, you can only imagine how she savored that son to whom she gave birth. Mary's life was as hard as it was joyful. She put up with derision and judgment and criticism and the belittling of others, not to mention having to travel late in her ninth month of pregnancy to Bethlehem for the census, and then raced into exile to protect and defend herself and her child, and then ultimately suffering the pain of his wretched death on the cross, seeking and suffering. And the only reason she could put up with all of that, both the joy and the sadness, is because she savored. She pondered her experience, so identified with God was she that she could do that. You've heard a lot of these themes before. Let's make it real. Who do you savor? I see more couples here this morning. Are you savoring your spouse? I see children today of many ages. Parents, are you savoring your children? Children, are you savoring your parents? Are you loving them? I see people here who have lost loved ones in the last couple of weeks, in the last few months, in the last 5 years. I see people here who are alone and they don't have anyone. Savoring has a lot to do with memories. So if your loved ones have preceded you in death, they're with the Lord. Don't be sad about that. Savor memories. There is such a thing called a prayer of memories. Sometimes I know that can be hard because I've done it. When you're thinking about a loved one who has passed and you're savoring the younger years and life was so rich and joyful and even all the negatives, you say, well, I don't think about that anymore because all the good that we had. And sometimes that can buoy up our spirit, and other times it's like, man, that's too much right now. Savoring makes us more human. The world needs more savoring, don't you think? Everything in the world has us on the move, constantly bombarding. Now, I know it's not popular, but to really savor, you gotta sit still and be quiet. And the hard part is, you gotta put down the phone. You gotta close the computer. Quit watching videos or YouTube or games and figure out who you are in God, who God is in you, and who you love. Do you realize that if you're not savoring and valuing the love you have for the people sitting with you, you will not be able, you will be unable to savor God. I've been trying to make the point for several years now. Coming to church is always going to be a good thing. But to really mature as a Christian, somehow, by the grace of God, because we can't do it to ourselves or by ourselves, we have to have some encounter, some experience of being loved by God. And if I'm right, and I am, I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. I'm right about this. If you're loving your spouse or children or friends, family, that's going to lead you to love God. Because that love you have for your loved ones is from God. It's God in you and it's God in them expressing itself. But we need the encounter and the experience. Advent is for seeking. Christmas is for savoring. Mary, the prophets, the Old Testament, all these generations, and we ourselves as actively today are seeking wholeness and peace and love and justice and basic civility in the world. Am I right? Yeah, we are. If you're not, will you wake up? Because we need your prayer. We need to all be moving in the same direction here so that the kingdom of God and justice, love, and peace is going to come about when we realize that we're the delivery system of Christ in the world. But all those seekers and the promise and the hope and the fidelity of all that God promised through the ages and eons of time is now ours. In what we celebrate today, in the birth of our Savior, did that baby save us? Not directly, but it was St. Francis, as I reflected yesterday, that came to the great and important insight. We don't have to wait for Easter to realize our liberation, freedom from sin and death in the dying and the rising of Jesus. Because today a Savior has been born to us, Christ the Lord, and He is already here. But if we don't encounter that or have some experience of that through our experience of love and savoring with those around us, then Jesus is just an idea practiced in religion. In my own life, when I was 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, I can remember growing up in a very Catholic family, in a very Catholic culture, in a very Catholic neighborhood. You remember those days? Yeah, that was only 70 years ago. Seems like 300, right? I can remember the crib my dad put in the fireplace every year. For some reason, I love that crib. He put the fit in the wood, and he made a platform. He wooded in the walls, and he put the straw and the hay in there, and there was a couple of donkeys and a couple of cows and a couple of sheep that went to bed with most of us many nights. And, baby Jesus was in the manger, and then there was, I think it was an angel, it wasn't a star, at the peak of the creche there. And I could just sit there watching that. And you know what? More was going on there than a little 5-year-old thinking, oh, this is really cute. 5-year-olds don't know the word cute, except that they are. That was an experience and an encounter of a child's faith. They matured into an adult faith. I can remember Christmas tree lights when all the lights are off and there was at least 30 or 40 seconds of time when there was quiet in the house. And I used to like to sit in that front room because, you know, you never went in the living room in those days unless it was Christmas or there was company. But that's where the tree was. And just watching those lights, that was an experience, an encounter that told me those lights aren't on just to put a little more light in the room. Those lights are expressing a mystery beyond words. It's an encounter and it's an experience. And I hope I'm triggering some of your memories as a child. I can remember Christmas cookies and sticky buns and how good a cook my mother was. And we always had turkey at Thanksgiving and green bean casserole. I don't savor that a whole lot, but we had it anyways. And we had our favored relatives and some that weren't quite so favored, but they came anyhow. And those become the memories, right? And that's a fabric. It's an easy entry point into the experience of how we got to be people of faith. We just didn't bling into it because we can savor those moments that pulled us along the way. And yet that was just only one little corner of that whole fabric or cloth of our savoring. Because another way to savor is to realize and accept deeply the longings of all humanity for all time. Our need and our desire for a Savior to liberate us from sin and death and fear, and in so many ways, places and peoples and times now, war, oppression, poverty, starvation. We're safe and secure here. I wish the weather was better, but all things being equal, we're pretty safe and secure here today, right? Think of all the places in the world you could really be having a bad day. That's why all humanity is seeking and longing for the salvation that is now ours and is already here. Yes, indeed, we're waiting for the second coming, pray God, but not today, okay? Let's get past Christmas first. But we're waiting for the second coming. But I want you to hear and I want you to know that that salvation of God is already here, which is why I think in our culture today, savoring is so important so that we can realize that we are already acceptable to the Lord. We are accepted by God. I know it's so common, so familiar to know already that God loves you as you are. If you're weighed down by sin or your conscience is bothering you, you're into things, you're doing things that you know you shouldn't ought to be doing, you know the answer to that? Quit it. If you haven't been to confession in 100 years, it's probably time to go. It's a beautiful sacrament, but that forgiveness, that peace is already here. But we have to be the agents of that for one another. Where do we find the time? Where do we find the place to do this savoring? Prayer. Prayer time. And I don't mean getting out your prayer cards, your holy cards, or your devotional book. Beautiful, I have those too, and I use them. Maybe your best prayer was when you get up an hour before anybody else, and you make the coffee, and you get the first cup. And you're sitting there having it just the way you like. And it's quiet. And you're pondering. And you're thinking. Hopefully once in a while in a peaceful way. Not just about the problems and the complaining of your life. And you're savoring your life and love. Maybe even you're thinking about God. Maybe there's no quiet in the house. You have to wait till you get in the car. Maybe you got to go hide in the garage. Wherever it is, it doesn't matter. That's another form of prayer. Because savoring is a prayer. And it's in those kinds of moments that we can recall the memories, encounters, and experiences that connect us with God, even if it's a memory of how we loved another person, a child or a spouse, and another person loved us in return. That's the incarnation, because we are incarnate. We have bodies, we have flesh, we have souls, conscience, minds, and hearts, and they have to interact and relate. Take some time today. Tomorrow, make it a habit. Dare I even say 5 minutes? Be brave, make it 15 if you have it. If you don't drink coffee, drink something else. Savoring works best when we surrender, realizing and accepting that the redemption we long for is already here. If we're going to be afraid of God and somehow think that God doesn't want to see me because I haven't been to confession in 100 years, that's stinking thinking. Because God always wants to see your face. He will always forgive. Give him a chance. Speak your peace to God. It's Christmas. Find yourself in him because he's given himself to you. May God be praised by our worship and our gathering this day, and may your prayer and mine, and whatever little or great efforts we have to bring more love in the world, make next year a far sight better than the year we're finishing. Praise be God for Jesus Christ.